Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, what is the best phone of 2025? And should OnePlus be on your list of considerations? Plus, as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. Later in the show, we're going to talk about the appearance of AI models in Vogue and the consequences of it. But I want to start this week with phones. And who better to join me than our dear old friend, John Riley. John, how are you?
Great, Jess. And you?
I am very well. Thank you very much. I saw Oasis during the week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'll have more thoughts and feelings when I've had time to process it. But I'm still on a high. So the reason you're in is to talk through some new products that you've had a chance to review that I haven't seen, but I'm curious about. And then also, before I let you go, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit in terms of our top phones of the year. Because on Tuesday of this week, I was on the Pat Kenny show and I was struck by the number of questions that came in, as usual, for people looking for phones, but at varying price points. Fewer and fewer people are asking for phone recommendations now at the €1,000 mark. So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes' time. But let's start with some of the devices that you've played around with and that you have reviewed up on the effect.net. They're all under the OnePlus umbrella.
Yeah, so they've been really busy for the last number of months, OnePlus. Even going back to the end of last year, the OnePlus 13 kind of kickstarted this whole new tranche of devices. So what I have been playing with at the moment is actually the OnePlus 13. I'm still kind of doing a long-term review on that. It's a couple of months down the line. I just didn't get back to it. But I have played with their more entry-level or mid-range to upper-range device, the OnePlus 13 OR. So it's a bit more reasonable. I don't know if the OR technically stands for that, but it comes in at €650. So it's not the four digits like you've mentioned there. It's a lot more kind of manageable for a lot of people listening. That's SIM-free, obviously. You've got a Snapdragon processor. You've got the RAM. You've got 256 gigs of storage. Plenty of storage. Yeah. The thing about OnePlus and a lot of these non-Western brands, or basically non-iPhones, is that their battery tech is getting way better. So they've developed new kind of battery technology, silicon carbide or carbon, I don't know exactly, but it's the size of these batteries are getting much larger, but they're not making the phones thicker. So here now in this 13 OR, you've got a 6,000 milliamp hour battery, which is just huge.
Think about that for a second. Do you remember back in the day, we'd be like, oh, it has a 3,500 milliamp battery, and we'd be blown away by it.
Double the battery size, and the phones are just the same thickness because they've developed, as I said, new ways of packing in more cell or more battery, or I should know better. But it's what it means basically is that you're getting at least 2 days of kind of mid to light use out of this device, and you're still getting the 80 watt wire charging. So when you plug this in, go have a shower, half an hour later you're nearly full again.
Wow.
You know, it's so the convenience aspect of these longer batteries, because we said it for years, as much as I've been talking to you, cameras can't really get better, screens can't get better, the size of a phone can't get any bigger because our hands aren't changing. But the battery was the one that you kind of were relying, every day you'd go home going, God, I have to plug this in again.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're getting to the point with these manufacturers, and I think across the industry, phones batteries are getting to more dependability, more reliability, and you're getting at least 2 days out of these massive batteries that they're using.
It is incredible, because alongside the battery, we also obviously have the AI optimization within the operating system as well. So that working alongside a 6,000 milliamp battery must be phenomenal, because even with my Google Pixel 9 Pro, the battery life on it is great.
Yeah.
But there are days when I'll get down to around 23%. And I'll know that I'll be like, that could be I'm on a night out or whatever, and I'll know that I'll make it home before it dies.
But still.
But the fear factor is still there. And then you go into battery saver mode or whatever.
Yeah.
But that just wouldn't be the case then with something like this.
No, it's just getting better and better. And again, Pixel will inevitably, hopefully, join the ranks with these other Asian manufacturers of getting these more high density batteries into the devices that people don't have that battery anxiety. And it's you know, to your point that We call them smartphones because we came from the Nokias, but yeah. Now they really are becoming smartphones because, mm-hmm. As you said, the AI there is doing tasks that you just didn't think was manageable on a phone, and it's just making your life much easier. And again, you're not worried about battery now because yeah. The physical size of the batteries are bigger. So you're getting kind of benefits on both fronts there. So they really are becoming the smarter smartphones that we need.
Yeah, we mentioned a million times on the show, and you just alluded to it there as well, that it's hard to buy a phone with a bad camera these days. What's the camera like on this? And you are very good at taking your kind of artsy photos and putting them up on your gram. Does this stand out in comparison to some of the others that you've reviewed recently?
It's definitely dependable. It's not going to be knockout. Okay. So you've got a 50 megapixel Sony sensor. It's got really good, like you just said, any kind of 500 plus phone, even lower, mm-hmm. with their main sensors where they put a lot of their bread and butter, meaning the main camera, not the ultra wide or not the telephoto if you manage to have one in the phone at this price point, but the main sensor at 50 megapixel, it takes fantastic daylight photos. You're never going to have an issue if you're out and about and you're in the park and you want to get a snap of something or someone, that's going to be fine. It's usually when you focus on the other lenses, maybe the ultra wide, it's a bit weaker.
Okay.
It just, the edges might be a bit blurrier, the low light capabilities might be a bit harder. So if you're trying to get a nice nighttime shot with the ultra wide, you're going to have to wait that bit longer with the camera, and the results mightn't be as clear or as sharp as you might be used to on a flagship. But again, these are the kind of the compromises you make again, for this price point.
It's €649. So yeah. Let's just keep that in our brains.
Basically half of an iPhone.
Essentially, yeah. And even like the other Android phones, like the Samsung, the top tier. Yep. Samsungs and the Googles and whatever. So 649, let's keep that in mind. Does it bang on about its AI capabilities and functionality, or is it just got the Google apps that we all have on Android phones now?
OnePlus are one, again, they're all doing it, and they OnePlus have come out and they are implementing more and more of their own kind of in-house AI functionalities and capabilities, and if it's AI translator or if it's AI note summarizer. And again, like you said, they're in partnership with Google, so they have Gemini kind of built directly into the device, so you can access it from anywhere on the phone. So there's kind of all these brands are learning the relationships they have with the larger corporations, usually Google obviously, because they're the guys powering these Android devices and kind of implementing their Gemini platform, their AI platform into these phones. So it's finding that balance between their own offerings and Google's offerings. So they're getting there, and like some of the stuff is great. Again, the photo manipulation, we've seen Google has kind of started that way back when with the erasing capabilities, which is just brilliant, and now we take it for granted. And all these other manufacturers, even Apple has kind of implemented these technologies into their camera app, for example, that most people probably use more than most other AI features. So yeah, the AI stuff is getting better every single day with Google's own offerings and their own internal offerings. So you've got kind of, as I said, the editing image tools, and then anything like even reflections, which is really something you wouldn't go, you're taking a photo out of a window of a plane or whatever it may be, and the AI can come in and kind of clear up that reflection so you just get what you're trying to capture. Really quality of life stuff.
Okay, so you mentioned it again, I'm going to say the price, €649. You said that there is a bit of a compromise when it comes to the ultra wide camera. Are there any other compromises that you notice because you are going from sort of these top tier phones to the lower end, but that aren't going to completely ruin someone's day?
No. So the other one that people might again have been using for the last number of years or have become comfortable with is wireless charging. And this is something I use it every night. I'm going to bed, I pop my phone on the wireless dock beside the bed, and I don't have to fumble looking for cables. Yeah. At this price point, OnePlus haven't implemented a wireless charging pad into the back of the 13R. So that's just something to be aware of. If you kind of are one of those people that pop into the office, you have a dock on your desk, pop it home, you have it beside your bedside locker. So that's just something, to keep costs where they are. And then a very nitpicky thing, the fingerprint sensor is built into the display like most other modern smartphones. But for me, I found it just that bit lower on the screen, the biggest first world problem ever.
Yeah, but that is one of those things.
Which is just this, every single day you're using it.
Every time.
It's a bit, and you have to adjust the phone just that tiny little bit to kind of get your finger on the sensor down the bottom of the screen where it's not more in the middle of the device or the display. These little things. Now, these are nitpicking, especially that. But otherwise, you would be very hard pressed to have issues with this device.
The wireless charging or lack thereof is an interesting one because I, like you, have a wireless charger. I have one on my desk here at Newstalk and I just throw my phone down on it. It's a nice way to top up. But again, if you're dealing with a 6,000 milliamp battery, you may not necessarily need to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Do you know what I mean? And so I guess again, from like everything that you've said, sounds incredibly impressive. And as you said, you're kind of looking for problems almost with it. But for £650, I don't think you can go wrong. Okay, so that is one to definitely check out. Are OnePlus available in stores or is it all online?
It's all online. They kind of, they have all those great offers. They have kind of, you can get like most of the other manufacturers that do the kind of the launch deals. You can get free earbuds. You can get a free watch in some circumstances with the more expensive phones. So always keep an eye on their site, the just OnePlus.com, and you can get all these kind of great kind of discounts and doubling of your storage and whatever it may be. They're really kind of clever in that aspect of getting people in early, getting the brand ambassadors to pick up the new devices early, and getting getting those discounts when you can at the start.
Okay, let's just run very quickly through the OnePlus Pad 3, which is, I'm assuming, their tablet.
Yeah, so this is their top of the line tablet. Again, very quickly, I love this thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I do
because they sent it to me with, obviously, and I got the keyboard as well. So you've got this magnetized keyboard that's got really good travel on the keys. The trackpad is nice and big. It's got the Snapdragon 8 Elite processor, which basically is the most powerful mobile processor available on an Android device that they've put in. You don't usually see it being put into tablets kind of on average. So the fact that OnePlus have kind of stepped up and put this most power, so that means it's a gaming device as well.
Wow.
You know, the mobile titles that I've tried on it just look great.
Okay.
So you have no issues about going and having to crank down the settings. The display is nice and sharp. It's a good aspect ratio. Yeah, I'm a big fan of this device.
Just in terms of, so you mentioned the processor there, in terms of storage and stuff like that, what are your options and can you realistically download a few games to play and do some work on it? Like, is it that all-rounder tablet?
Yeah, it's got the storage opportunity. So you've got like 256 gigs of storage, and then you can bump it up then to the 512 gig. You have 16 gigs of RAM, so it's kind of like more powerful than a lot of laptops from a couple of years ago, where you have no problem multitasking. And again, as I said, for gaming, that really helps just keep things ticking over in the background. And then, yeah, the battery is 12,140 milliamps, so an enormous battery. Again, just like the 13 hour we mentioned, this thing has 80 watts of fast charging, which again is kind of unprecedented, or not the norm on a tablet device to have such super fast charging, given that it's such a massive battery, to be able to top it up and have that convenience of going, I'm going on a flight or whatever in the morning, I forgot to charge my tablet, you can pop it on charge and you're going to get it up to speed or up to full capacity in no time at all.
Wow, I'm blown away that you're blown away by it, because I kind of thought, the way sometimes Android tablets come and go and you're like, it's grand, but I wouldn't write home about it. But this, again, just from a pricing point of view, so it's $599 for the 12 gigs of RAM and 256 storage model. And then there's a limited time offer at $599 for 16 gigs of RAM and 512 gigs.
Yeah, so you can double both up, yeah.
Nice.
So, like, again, if you that's... As we record, that offer is there, but it may not be, you know, they kind of do it for the first couple of weeks.
If you listen to this podcast in October,
it's game over, yeah. The one thing now, if I was nitpicking again, I'm a big OLED display fan.
Yes.
So that's the one kind of, that's where you keep the $599 price point, is that you're not putting in the latest OLED technology into this tablet.
What is the screen?
So it's an LCD panel.
Okay.
So the blacks aren't as black as your fancy OLED TVs, or maybe Samsung do offer OLEDs in their top of the line tablets.
Yeah.
So you've got that. Again, you know, if you're on a flight, these things still look fantastic. But to me, I'd be kind of a diehard OLED fan in that sense. So if I really was to have a little change in the device, I'd love if they popped in an OLED panel. Just that movies and TV shows look that big. Better.
Yeah.
And the picture quality is that, you know, the blacks are blacker, or they're infinitely black. So again, that's a very first world problem. And then one other little thing would be the camera. It's an 8-megapixel front facing camera.
Okay.
So I've done plenty of Teams calls on this device when I was testing it. And again, more than adequate, but you're not going to get pin sharp, picture perfect quality on your Teams meetings, or if you're trying to record any sort of video on this device, it could potentially be a better camera offering. Yeah, if people are kind of conscious of their image quality on calls or whatever it may be.
Yeah, because a lot of people I know, just even anecdotally, are now buying tablets so that they can do the Zoom calls or the Teams calls or whatever it is when they're out and about, because we're not all as tied to the desk as we used to be. So that is definitely something to consider.
Yeah, it works absolutely fine. And again, with the speed of the processor, I never had any, like, it was buttery smooth. It was fine. It worked perfect. But again, the quality just wasn't pin sharp.
Okay.
Just something to note.
Okay. That is good to know. Okay, I'm definitely going to try and get my hands on that, because I think I still use the iPad mini 2, I want to say, which I love. I love the size of it. I love the functionality of it. But because everything else I have now is in the Android world, because I was in the Apple world for a while, now that I've shimmied across back to the world of Android, I'm definitely going to have a look and see about getting one of those. Because I do think there's a lot of noise in the tablet world, so something that stands out is always good. We also had a few more devices from OnePlus, if that wasn't enough, that have launched over the last little while.
Yeah, so quickly, these are kind of more their, well, the phones offerings that they've launched, or the phone offerings, they're more their entry range called Nord, N-O-R-D. So we've got the new OnePlus Nord CE5. I wish they kind of had a more condensed or tidied naming structure, but we also, and then the OnePlus Nord 5. So the CE is more of an entry level. This really is the entry level OnePlus device. Mm-hmm. You're coming in at just $299 for this device. You're still getting a 6.7 inch display. It's an OLED panel, 50 megapixel sensor, 5,200 milliamp hour battery, again with 80 watts charging. Mm-hmm. They really are bringing the best little kind of quality of life features into this entry level device that people are going to get the benefit from, just €300 for this, yeah, for this phone. Then you step up to the Nord 5, which is kind of just that bit better than what is the CE5. That's coming in at £449. So again, we're hitting every price point here from OnePlus. That's got a 6.8 inch panel, AMOLED again, 50 megapixel camera, 50 megapixel on the front sensor, so your selfies.
Why would you want 50 megapixel? Like, anyone need that?
Well, the younger generation that have better skin than us probably don't
kids
care.
Kids today, John. Kids today.
Yeah, you're getting a 50 megapixel up front, big old battery, and again, like you said, all that AI product, the AI Plus Mind is what OnePlus call it. Their AI search, they've got their Plus key on the side of the device for helping store your kind of different screenshots and stuff. Oh, that's actually nothing phone. So this is a different functionality for their AI button. And yeah, that's 8 gigs of RAM, 256 gigs of storage, coming in at €449 for the Nord 5.
Yeah, you can't really sniff that now at all. In terms of accessories, similar enough to Samsung and Google and whatever, they have watch and earbuds. Have you tested their buds?
No, I haven't had the buds in a while now. My colleague Tony had them a couple of years ago and he was a big fan. A lot of stuff I've seen online, OnePlus are doing something right. They're knocking it out with the offering. These OnePlus Buds 4, which were announced with these other products, they're coming in at just £99.
Which is very good.
It is very good. It's like phones, it's getting hard to buy crap earbuds.
Yeah.
I haven't had the chance to test them just yet, but they've got the ANC, basically the active noise cancellation. That goes up to 55 decibels. Mm. That's a number I see that the big hitters are claiming. So you're blocking out a lot of surrounding sound up at 55 decibels. So £99, it's going to be hard. I'm just waiting for the guys in OnePlus to send me a pair to test out. So I'm really interested to see how they kind of compete with the likes of Sennheiser, the likes of Bose, the big names we all know as the top of the line stuff.
Mm. And the watch as well. Now, the only thing is the watch is kind of in and around the same prices as what you'd expect from any of the watches, really. It's €279, the OnePlus Watch 3. Is there anything standout? Like, what does it look like? Is it more the Apple-y or the Google-y?
It's circular. It's stylish. And what's kind of, the OnePlus Watch 3, the kind of the larger model, because what's significant about this one is that they brought it out in a smaller form factor for people that don't like those big knockout watches.
Like them,
no.
Yeah.
So this 43 millimeter option is that just that smaller offering. It's the exact same device. And then that price point, this is their flagship watch, basically, that you're getting in a smaller form factor, really. So that $279, you're getting the 7 days of battery life, where like that's where OnePlus really kind of leads the charge. They've got like a dual processing capabilities on the watch. So you've got like the one that runs your Android Wear OS.
Yeah.
So you've got your Android apps running. But then when you're kind of, when things are kind of quieter on the device, it focuses on just the basics of keeping the time ticking over on the watch. So it kind of curtails the battery usage. So you can get it up to 7 days of battery charge out of this thing. So that's, again, the quality of life there is really, really important, that people aren't putting on charge every single night.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
This is a brand that kind of had been on my radar, fell off my radar, and now it's creeping back in on the radar. Okay, look, stay with me because I want to keep in that sort of train of thought when we come back and talk through some of the brands that you should be aware of if you were thinking of buying a phone in 2025. We're going to look back at what's been released so far this year and where you should spend your money. Don't go anywhere.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. John Riley of TheEffect.net is still with me now. John, before the break, you gave us sort of a whistle-stop tour through the latest and upcoming releases from OnePlus. But as I mentioned to you at the start of the show, this week on the Pat Kenny Show, I had more phone related questions than I've had in a long time. It seems, I don't know if everybody is either upgrading or everyone's phone is on the blink or whatever, but I was really struck by how nobody was asking about the high end phones. Nobody was saying my budget is between 900 and 1700 euro. Some of the texts were saying my budget is 350. Some were saying I'm on an A12. I'm thinking about the A16 from Samsung. There's no denying that that lower end of the spectrum, and when I say lower end, I mean 600, 0 to 600. That to me is the most interesting side of the phone spectrum at the moment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, 100%. People aren't, the top of the lines are just getting more and more expensive. Mm. And it's a point of diminishing returns in terms of each year's incremental updates. So people just don't see the value in spending the new folding, the Samsung Fold 7 is 2,150 euro, I think, for a folding phone. Mm. So people are looking for a bargain. They want to get off their contracts. They want to get into SIM-only or SIM-free phones.
Yep.
They're buying them outright. That's happening here. It's happening everywhere. So they want to know where the value is with these lower priced devices, as you said. So each brand is finding their own niche, their own kind of formula for what they want to put in their device to keep prices down, but also make it a really worthwhile and usable device.
Yeah.
So I can totally get why people are kind of more and more interested in that price bracket, because, you know, as the years have gone on, we've always said it's hard to buy a crap phone mm-hmm. now. And now that these top of the line features from 5 years ago have made their way into the modern day kind of budget, mid-range, upper mid-range devices, it's anyone's game now to see who comes out on top.
Yeah, I also think and this is something that I remember me and you being at an event in Paris. It was a Huawei event.
Yeah.
I was going to say I won't say the brand, but I just did. But because we were kind of laughing at the presentation, because they spent about 40 minutes talking about the beauty of the design and the colours. And we were like, how do they come up with it? Because they can't just say something is black.
Yeah, or white.
It's like mystic night, midnight. And you're like, just say it's black. But anyway, but I do think the design of the lower end phones has gone up a notch as well. You used to be able to tell a cheap phone from a million miles away. Now, I think if I was to lay Samsung, the latest flagship, the S range of Samsung, and the mid-range Samsung side by side, yeah, I don't think everybody would be able to tell instantly which is which. I think they have really nailed that broad spectrum of an offering from the A range right to the S range. But in saying all of that, when I think about my phones of the year so far, I don't know that Samsung would make the cut.
Yeah, I guess because they've just got so many slaps on the wrist over the years that they haven't innovated enough, and they've kept it safe and they haven't upgraded a lot. You know, the cameras have always been the same because we've plateaued. It's really hard to kind of really break the mold at that price point up at the very top, and to really to deliver stuff that people just haven't been using for the last number of years. So yeah, you're really getting the innovation further down in the, as you said, the A range and any other device that's coming in at those lower price points to offer something that people wouldn't expect, really. It's a nice surprise to go, oh, I can actually do that on this device. Because it's all trickling down. It's been happening for years. As you said, you know, back in the day, you'd know it was a cheap phone if you could pop the back off and pop the battery
plastic,
out.
The
plastic,
yeah.
Everything was plastic.
Yeah.
Most of these mid-range devices are metal build, mm-hmm. glass back, you know, durable, sturdy devices that you put them in your hand, you're going, how much?
Yeah.
300 quid. If people are taken aback by how nice these mid-range devices are. So yeah, there's people like OnePlus, there's Nothing brand, there's other ones I can't.
Honor,
yeah.
Very fond of.
Big, again, they are really shaking things up at different price points, but their 400 range is coming out. I played with the Honor 400, really good, impressive camera specs. The build quality, like you said, the finish, they're so stylish that they're really giving a lot of the other competitors a run for their money. So those guys are definitely one to watch. So their Honor 400 is one that I was really impressed by,
yeah,
because that's their entry level in inverted commas. Like, that's their basic phone.
Yeah.
But it was so impressive. Like, even the display on the front, the bezels were next to nothing. So it looked, if you put it beside the latest iPhone, you're like, that screen just looks as good.
Mm.
And it's hard to tell the difference anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's worth listening back. You were on the show a few weeks ago. If you missed it, go to the GoLight app and search for Tech Talk, and you'll see it has Honor in the title. But you did a really comprehensive guide through the phones from Honor, as well as the price point. Where does Google sit in terms of your phone hierarchy?
I love what they do. I love that they're still around because, you know, we know that Google, unfortunately, have a trend of killing off things that aren't making money, but they really are continuously kind of off or developing and evolving with our Pixel range.
Yeah.
I've always been a Pixel fan. I'm currently using a Xiaomi device at the moment.
Are you?
I'm on the Xiaomi 15 Ultra.
Oh, go on.
That camera is the one that you've seen a lot of my snaps on Instagram are from the Xiaomi. Good. That's from March. So what are we now? July?
Yeah.
We're just gone August. So those Chinese manufacturers, the R&D, the tech they put in, it's a 1-inch sensor for your listeners that know anything about photography, because I didn't really know until I kind of got into this top of the line stuff with Xiaomi. So Google are coming out in the next couple of weeks. They have announced a date, August 20th. The new Pixel 10 range is coming. We've loved Pixel for a long, long time.
Yeah.
They always will have a place in my heart. You know, I'm a big fan of what they're going to do potentially with the new devices. They have the folding devices and even the A range. Again, it's filtering down those user-friendly features, those camera smarts that Pixel has been known for years, and making it available at a price point that is way more manageable than their top of the line features. But even at saying that, Pixel have always been that bit cheaper anyways than the Samsungs, than the iPhones. So they've had that going for them as well over the years. So I've recommended Pixel a lot to a lot of people and they've always had a nice experience with them. Mm. And I think that brand affinity sticks around where people go, Pixel actually is just a nice user-friendly. It's like the iPhone of the Android world.
It's just exactly. It is so clean.
Yeah.
And everything that's meant to work just works.
Yeah.
And like even the Gemini stuff, I just find that they've nailed the integration of AI. They haven't done that much singing and dancing about it in comparison to other brands that I've spoken to over the last little while. Obviously, they're pushing it because it exists, but it just, the form, I love the form factor. I love the clean, slick nature of the operating system.
Yeah.
I love the camera.
Yeah.
Like the camera for me is the standout. I was at a wedding a few weeks ago and a few people were like, Jesus, what are you taking those photographs on? I'm like, literally just my phone.
Yeah.
And that's not even the most notions version of the Pixels. I'm on the 9 Pro, I think it is.
Yeah, that's the best you can get.
But is there not?
There's the XL. It's just a bigger version.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it's the exact same camera.
Yeah, so I'm not on the XL. So I'm on the kind of in-between size one.
Because
my handies can't do these. but the camera on it just blows me away every single time.
Yeah.
And I do wonder where we're going in terms of consumer trends, because we were talking to Refurbed on this show a few weeks ago about the drive that they're seeing. So people are looking to buy refurbished phones because the phones are lasting much longer.
Yeah.
Like in terms of the hardware, the software updates and all the rest.
Exactly. The brands are agreeing to 7 years of, Samsung are doing it and Honor are doing it now with some devices that you're getting 7 years of operation system updates, so OS updates. You're going to build Android, whatever it is at that stage, it's going to be Android 23 or something. The longevity is there.
Mm. Okay, so we are at the beginning of August.
Yep.
What is your phone of the year so far? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to email it to myself and I'm going to bring you back in December and then see if your opinion has changed.
Right now, for the Irish market, the fact that we have the Xiaomi 15 Ultra, it is the top of the line Xiaomi. It's €1,600.
Oh, John.
Look at it. If I wasn't using it, you'd be worried.
That is true.
It's the camera. You know me and my Notions photos.
You love a moody photo.
I love
the shadow.
It's all.
I can describe all of John's photos for you if you want.
You're just jealous. Yeah.
I am jealous. I am. No, because the quality has been incredible.
Yeah.
And like that, it looks like what I'd imagine photos from an SLR 20 years ago were like, just that crispness, and it looks like professional photography.
The sensor size, again, as I said, it's a 1-inch sensor, means that nothing to a lot of people, but like for photographers, you know, that's impressive to have packed in a phone in your pocket. So you always get that natural depth of field, that natural bokeh. Then there's the zoom lenses can go up, 100 times, which I don't use, but I can reliably use like the 6x zoom. It's an optical zoom, so I know it's going to be pin sharp and it gives you those non-smartphone look photos. I always punch the zoom in when I can, so you get that, like the depth looks more professional, it looks nicer, it's more appealing to the eye even, because when someone takes a normal main lens camera, you go, that's a photo from a phone.
Yeah.
But I'll always try and tweak it that bit more because I can now. I have the confidence to use this. I think I was speaking to Martin Meany from Goost and I said to him, this phone makes me want to be a better photographer.
Mm.
because it just has that capability. Absolute notions.
Yeah, I don't even know who you are.
The smirk on her face when I said that.
Like, I'm actually embarrassed for him. I'm glad.
I know. I said it, not her. So I'm the loser here, yeah.
Okay, well, look, let's see what happens between now and the end of the year in terms of phones and see if that is still top of your list. You mentioned the Made by Google event that's happening later this month. We will be there. We will have hands-on with the phones and the devices and whatever else they're bringing. So that is to come. But for the moment, John Riley of TheEffect.net. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Jess.